My guest today is Cassio. We're going to start by playing a track off a CD they brought in, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. So stick around for that. It's going to be a great show. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Cassio.
Safe with me.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Cassio. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic.
Very well. Very well.
So tell me, who's here from the band and sort of what you bring to the band? Let's start here.
Okay. My name is Lucas, and I play bass and I sing.
My name is Eric, and I bring the razzmatazz of the guitar and fashionista extraordinaire.
That's very true.
You bring the style.
I bring the style.
Eric definitely has the style.
And there's a couple other people who fill out the band as well.
That's Zach Schrock, who plays drums and speaks his own language called Zerp. And Andrea, who plays the keys.
And plays with worms a lot.
She plays with worms. She's a scientist, actually.
Nice.
When she's not, you know, playing with the band.
Which is a kind of science in itself.
That's true. That's true. Only we don't allow worms at practice.
Now, how much of this is a totally collaborative effort, and how much of it is sort of, you know, Lucas and his band, Cassio?
Well, it's a collaborative effort in that I write the songs at home, and, you know, they're at a certain stage, and then I bring them into practice, and we work them out and make sure they're, you know, the structure's there and everything. And so it is somewhat collaborative.
Did it start with just a guy and a guitar, and then you found people to play with, or did you guys kind of, in a petri dish, suddenly become a band?
You got it. I just was basically playing guitar in my room for years, you know, trying to figure out a sound, and eventually when I, you know, I'd written a bunch of songs, you know, and the first songs are really, really, really bad. And then they progressively got better. And then there were some more bad ones.
You kind of reached a plateau.
And then finally I was like, they might not get any better than this. So I got a band together. No, I didn't get a band together until I was happy with the sound that I'd found. Yeah.
And because you're dealing with kind of a unique sound, I mean, you guys are playing in sort of the independent rock scene and Silver Lake, things like that, but you're doing a different kind of music than people are used to hearing. Was it hard for you to find bandmates and kind of get what you were doing to come in and like really capture what you were hoping for?
Actually, no, it's strange. It came together pretty smoothly, actually. Eric, I found through a friend of mine who had a band who is also a very dancey band in New York called Trick and the Heartstrings. And he sent me Eric, basically packaged him up and said,
FedEx.
Here from New York. And Eric was totally into it. And Zach took some convincing. I'd been friends with Zach for a while. So how did that happen? Oh, yeah. So I'd been talking about, you know, putting a band together for a while with Zach. And he was like, man, I've got so much other stuff I'm doing, you know.
Man is mad busy. His band's galore and just, you know.
So it would have to be some special kind of project. It couldn't just be another band.
Right, right, right. So what I decided to do was I had Eric and the keyboardist and our first keyboardist. And we got together in practice, made sure the songs were tight. It was just the three of us. And we're like, okay, Zach, come on in for practice. You know, see what you think. And maybe play drums for us for a few shows. But really the plan was to trap him, you know. Like really just kind of
a well baited trap.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, and we played the practice went really well and he was like, okay, I'm in the band. And that was that.
And what was that like for you, Eric? Kind of coming in from the outside and sort of seeing, you know, Lucas had already sort of created this sound. Was it something fresh that you were
very
familiar with?
Very exciting, very exciting. I was in a band when I was in high school and then I went through college and after college and I was trying to write music of my own, trying to do some stuff with music once in a while and everything. But like you said, the Trick and the Heartstrings band was like something that, you know, was a good friend of both of ours, good mutual friend. And it was very fresh, very inspiring. And then I came over to LA and Lucas just drops me a line and says, I wrote some songs. Check them out. If you want to play, I'm looking for guitars. And I listened to that. And it's funny. I listened to this song called Girl is Unreal. And I like, listen to that over and over. I was like, this is dope. I can't wait to get into this. And we don't even play that song anymore. That song is buried.
But you knew right off the top you wanted to be a part of this.
Right.
Huh?
I knew it. We got together and we had this, you know, crazy, shy ass, flirting musicians relationship. Like, all right, I don't want to ruin this one. It's good. I don't want to lie. we're all timid at first, But you know, we had a good connection from the start, so it was great. The
music's most
there.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, why don't we jump into a live song?
Okay.
Just tell me what you guys are playing, just for audience sake.
This song is called My Book.
And like instrumentation wise, what are we dealing with here? Just some bass
we're just
and some vocals.
With a guitar and vocals.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I brought a really short cord. Hold on one second.
My guest is Casio, myspace.com/CASXIO. I'm correct in thinking that the X is a silent X, right?
That,
just to trip
right,
us up.
Correct.
All right, cool.
Very correct.
Thank you for spelling that out as well.
All right, whenever you guys are ready.
All right. Open, I don't like to read. Don't like to read out loud. 'Cause the lines are broken, and there's so much space. Sometimes I can't make a sound. My own face, but people keep leaving, and I no longer see myself, 'cause my eyes are drowned. Don't call
down.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Cassio. That was sweet, man.
Thanks. Great. I want a copy of that.
Hey, all right. That's Bennett, the ghost of Kill Radio. He pops in on especially good episodes to be like, sticks his thumb up. Like.
That's great. It's affirming. He's paid to do that.
Yeah.
That sounded great. I want a copy.
It's my mascot. So. Let's go to the beginning, Lucas. What came for you first? Sort of, was it playing guitar or singing?
It was playing guitar. Playing guitar and singing, I guess. I always knew I wanted to sing in the band eventually when I actually got a band together. Playing guitar was the first thing. I didn't start playing guitar till I was like 19 or 20. So I started playing guitar and started, you know, writing songs, singing, and recording on a little Tascam 4-track, and which I wish I still had, because there's something about the sound of one of those things that is just, you can't get that anywhere else.
No. You know?
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but I liked it. I don't know.
And when you started playing guitar, did you always have this kind of funk, sort of chicka-chicka, like, you know, sensibility to you? Or did you start out playing, like, folk music or Stairway to Heaven? Or
no, never, man, never. You know, I never really got into learning songs, to tell you the truth. I just kind of learned guitar through writing. Mm-hmm. I always had written on the funkier side. Yeah. Whether it was more towards a soul R&B or straight up funk, you know. But it was always on the funkier side, definitely.
And when you started to sing, did you just open up your voice and it came out this way? Or is this something you kind of worked on until you sort of found what you wanted to do?
As far as vocally, you know, I don't know. I think it just kind of, when I write lyrics, I usually am playing a part. I'm playing a part on the guitar or the bass, and I'll just blurt out whatever I feel is right. Or if I have lyrics written and not a melody, I'll start singing the lyrics. However it comes out is how it comes out, and I guess this is how it came out, you know.
What do you usually deal with first when you're writing a song? Do you have the sort of notes in your head and then you add the lyrics last, or does it all come to you at once?
Usually the music comes first, the bass. Which is kind of strange, I think. I write the bass parts first. although it depends, you know, it's not always the same. Sometimes I'll come up with some chord changes on the guitar, and that's what'll drive the song. But I don't know, on these songs, it's kind of obvious that they're pretty much bass-driven songs.
Yeah. Now, what about, like, you know, themes that you keep coming back to? I would imagine because your music has this kind of dance sensibility to it, that would affect the sort of things that you write about? Or are you still writing about the same things that any other musician would be writing about and just sort of putting your sensibility in it?
Yeah. I'm writing most of these songs are songs about girls and heartbreak, love songs, you know? I write a lot of songs about girls, and I try not to. It just always goes back to girls.
You ever try to like write a song? It's like, this is not a song about girls, and by the time you're done, it's become a song about girls.
Yes. With the last song I wrote.
Yeah.
The last song I wrote, I was like, this is not going to be a song about girls. A week later, wow, I wrote a song about girls. How the hell did that happen?
Well, you know, it's the songs that, you know, they end up ultimately write themselves. You know, you don't really get to choose what a song is about. You may think that you're in control, but by the end of it, the song is written itself.
Yeah. It's strange. Just takes that path for some reason.
Let's listen to another track that you brought in.
Okay, cool.
What do you recommend here?
Well, let's go, because this is a mystery, because I don't know what order I put these on the CD. And just play track two.
Excellent choice.
This is track two by Cassio.
The first song was 17, by the way. The first song that was played was 17, and the song that Lucas just played was called My Book.
Yeah. My guess is Cassio, you're listening, is good on killradio.org. Stick around, more live stuff to come. On Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Lucas and Eric of Cassio, and listening to some tracks here. These tracks that you brought in, are they from an album? Is that something that's available or going to be available?
We don't have a full album yet. They're not from even an EP. They were from the 17 was the latest recording we did. We finished it a couple weeks ago, and that could be considered a single that hasn't been released yet.
The you can rest download the, that. You can download oh, that on our
can,
MySpace
yeah,
page.
You can download it. Yeah. But the rest of the tracks that we have here for you were basically demos.
Now, as a sort of dance project, it's maybe a little bit different from rock, where you kind of, I guess in both cases, you're kind of deciding which you are, a live act or recording artist. But with dance music, you guys spend a lot of time in the recording studio, but also the live act is really important. Is there one that that resonates with you more?
Oh, well,
like
I mean,
recording versus performing?
Well, recording and performing are such different, they're so different. I mean, we go into the recording studio and it's hell. It's hell. It's
is it because it's just hard to get the sound hard, you're looking for?
We haven't found our team yet. We haven't found our producers, our mixers, our engineers, whatever. So we're still figuring out the recording stuff.
Yeah, and yeah, when you're doing it all yourself, it's it just becomes this huge pain in the ass.
And it's important to have someone there who isn't in the band who can hear with fresh ears.
Oh, definitely.
Because you're biased.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I hate everything,
You're your own worst critic.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even want to be in the studio a lot of the time. But, I mean, as far as performing goes, it's like we can put a show together that really, that I think really kicks ass, I mean.
What do you think is the right kind of venue for you guys in terms of, like, that best carries your sound and allows you to connect with your audience in the best way? Is it a big venue or a more intimate venue?
It's like in between, I think, right now.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best shows we played, some of the funnest shows we've played, and I think the audience participation, as far as audience participation goes, we're at the Lava Lounge.
These early days,
the Lava Lounge.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and I remember, and it was really kind
strange
of an awful
enough
place.
Oh,
for
yeah
sound.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
but it was
the
easy
worst
to pack, and everybody always had a good time.
Yeah,
right.
It was a really fun place to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you were a big sound person, it was
nightmare. Yeah, yeah, no good. No
they had
good
this stage right in front of the bar. There was no way to escape it. You had to go out to the parking lot.
Yeah,
it was almost like a lesser version of Silver Lake Lounge. It's just like
yeah, it's a
awkward,
similar setup,
right?
Silver Lake,
just
yeah
like that
yeah
long, awkward space with the long bar taking up most of the room on the floor, and just right in front of the stage, and the sound isn't the best.
but the audience doesn't, because they don't have that choice to kind of stand in the back, they're right there with
right
you
there.
So if you're doing a lively performance, they're going to be dancing, they're going to be singing along or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So those were some of the best shows I remember, But, I mean, we've had great shows at other venues, too, like Spaceland. Spaceland is a great venue as far as sound goes, and the space is great, what else can you think of?
Troubadour was a good show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing that really makes it for us right now is the crowd. If the sound, obviously we want the sound to be as good as possible and everything, but it's just a matter of, like, if we get that cement foot crowd, then it's just not the same thing. As soon as somebody just sparks the crowd and gets them dancing and gets them moving, then and everybody's getting into it, then that just makes any show so much easier to play, so much just more natural. You're just like, we're doing it right.
So you guys can have a really strong performance, but if you don't get that sort of physical reaction from the audience, you feel like something's missing, huh?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's certainly an objective, with our show. We want to see people. I think of it like this, if the crowd can either be moving, like dancing and really into it, and they could be showing it overtly, or the flip side of that would be, and which I don't mind, which would also be a good thing, is an audience that's kind of just standing there, but not talking.
Still captivated.
Right. So you're not competing with the clinking
too
of beer glasses and other people's conversations, but you're connecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because not everybody likes to dance. Like, I love listening to dance music, but I generally don't dance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, my way of showing appreciation is whether or not my head is moving up and down or
right.
My foot is tapping. Yeah.
But even not even that. I mean, we've had crowds that were just kind of looking at us like. It looked like they were looking at us like, where the hell are, who the hell do they think they are? And
I
love
get this,
that.
But I like it.
I love it. Well, I mean, as long if an audience isn't talking through your show,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then I'm happy. You know, I don't. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It means you've got their attention.
You're being noticed, and it's, yeah. it's worth the effort.
Sure.
I think
sure.
that there's. I mean, there's definitely like you know. Like you were saying, like we're playing the indie scene, you know, like we're playing like Silver Lake and a lot of these bands are way different sounding like us. And it wasn't hard for us to find each other to want to put this music together. But it has been a little harder for us to find the audience to cater to.
Sure.
And that's coming together now, and it's making the shows way more exciting.
Has it been a challenge with bookers too, where they sort of don't know where to place you and or they're having you, you know, come up after bands that are really different sounds?
Sometimes. Not lately. Scott Sterling with The Fold has been really good at getting us together with similar bands. When he put us together with Sam Sparrow, that was one of our favorite shows at Bordello's. That was another great, great venue to play. But yeah, I mean, that was it. You know, Sam Sparrow was dancing all night. It was just like, it was fun. And then we had another great show that he put together with the Trucks and Von Iva and Von Iva
at El Cid.
But yeah, it is hard to find enough bands to want to put together a nice string of shows. Like when we had a residency at Silver Lake Lounge, it was really hard to find a bunch of bands that had a similar sound. We kind of saved it all for the last one. Had Sam Sparrow come up with us and had Love Grenades, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, I guess that's a challenge any band would have if they're doing something that not everybody else is doing.
Yeah,
sure, you know? Sure, yeah, yeah. It's you know.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about sort of what funk is and what dance music is, and sort of how we define these genres. But let's do another live song first.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna actually do 17 now.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Cassio. Stick around.
I'm gonna try and see if I can pull this off here. All right. They wonder what I know, what I won't let them see. They wonder who I'm with. Your secret's safe with me. I just want you to know. I just want you to know. I just want you to know just how I feel. I'm only 17, but my love is for real. I'm only 17, but my love is for real. And I want to write you a note that you'll never read. My friends keep telling me I shouldn't beg and plead. I just want you to know. I just want you to know. I just want you to know just how I feel. I'm only 17. But my love is for real. Only 17, but my love is for real. And X is for my arms, and O is for my lips. X is for my arms. Oh, girl, you're gonna break me. X is for my arms.
words, and O is for my lips. X is for my arms. Baby, please don't go.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Cassio. So, what is it about the word funk that it automatically makes people think of a certain decade, a certain time, and sort of when you say that you do funk in a modern context, they think you're doing something that isn't current.
Yeah.
Why do we think that way?
Well, I think funk is associated with something that, you know, like, well, musically, I guess funk is associated with slap bass, wah pedals, maybe even porn.
long songs.
Long dance songs, which is fine. I don't know. To me, it's like funk is like... it's not a particular style of music. There's funk in so much music. There are so many funky songs out there that
you hear the word
funky
a lot more than you hear the word funk.
Right. Yeah. That's
for
true.
Sure.
That's true. Yeah. And that's why like I hesitate to call our music funk and even to say it's funky when we're describing it. You know, I do say it's funky, but I feel strange saying it's funky because I know what people, you know, think of when I say funky, you know.
Right. It's almost like the word disco. I mean, really, you're just meaning dance music, right, but if you say disco, then that triggers, you know,
right,
certain
imagery,
you know.
Some retro, you know.
Some throwback.
Back to the 70s band or whatever, you know.
There's also a lot of stuff that when you say it's funky that is kind of goofy.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a, like bands that you can't really take too seriously and stuff like that. Like that's what they do with their funk. And it's,
right,
you know, I'm not saying anything. I'm just mean like the way that we do funk is serious. It's like, I'm serious. Like this is some serious ass dance music. Like we're like, when you see the show, like it's intense. Like, I mean, we smile once in a while, but, and I don't mean we're not having fun or anything like that. It's not like, you know, we're not doing Slip My Wrist Radiohead music or anything like that serious. But
you're not dressed like Star Wars characters.
Yeah, it's not goofy. You know what I mean? It's not ridiculous stuff.
We're not in jogging outfits or whatever.
We're like, oh, here we go, dance.
Well, I think some people probably feel that they have to do that, and you know, to get that reaction from the audience that they want to get. You know, that sort of like enthusiasm.
Take it lightly, and
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
because maybe the music that they're doing isn't enough. You know, like,
well, I think there are a lot of bands out there where the gimmick is part of the whole
right,
thing.
Right, the visuals
and that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You know, I mean, I got no qualms with that. I just don't want, you know, I don't want
we just
that.
We just don't want it to be people to think that when we say we're a funk band.
Right.
It's been hard before it's been really hard coming out and saying that we're a funk band. I'll just admit that right now.
I was crying last night. I knew we'd have to say it today.
But yeah, we just didn't want to be associated with that stuff. We didn't want to be associated with you know, goofiness or with like really long jam wah pedal like you know, just I mean, it's pop. It's pop funk. It's short. It's concise. It's structured, and it's over like that, and it's fun.
I see a lot of the same thing happen with a lot of electronic musicians. Like, they don't want to say that they're electronic artists because everyone thinks that they do trance, you know, or something.
Right,
even,
right,
you know,
right.
They just happen to be musicians who use electronic instruments, you know, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
But people have assumptions, and I think it's because it's probably the way that the music is marketed to us, you know, mm-hmm. like it's this kind of music or it's that kind of music. Everything is very genre specific, very compartmentalized, because it's easier to sell that way.
Totally.
And
totally,
so as listeners, we're just so used to like, okay, where do I take this song and where do I, what part of my brain do I store it in? Do I file it under funk? Do I file it under dance?
Yeah. Absolutely. Look at Hot Chip, you know, they say, I mean, they're electronic music. I hope to God they don't say, yeah, we're electronic music and people think trance.
Right.
Because they're so much more than just electronic music, you know. They're an incredible band. I mean, there's all sorts of electronic bands out there. And what is electronic music these days? Practically everything. Like, it's just, I mean, I'd have to say there's like in pop music, isn't like 75 to 80% of the pop music out there electronic? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think a lot of it is, definitely.
Yeah. I think
like technically, you mean?
I don't know. I think it seems like half the, at least half the stuff I listen to on the radio, well, the stations I listen to are kind of. I'm a weirdo. I'm just a weirdo.
Moving along.
Maybe I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Shortwave illegal radio coming from Central American prisons. I don't listen to corporate radio. How much music do you guys put out usually? Like, do you have a whole bunch of songs and then record them all, or do you follow each song through to the end and have like a core group of songs that you just focus on? When Casio makes music, do you record a lot? Do you write a lot, or do you follow each song through to the end?
We generally don't record. Well, we don't record much. Actually, we should be recording a lot more than we are. We generally focus on live performances, but it, like Eric was talking about, he was saying earlier about not having that producer that we want to work with, that mixer that knows us, when we find those things, when we find those people that we want to work with and that we meld together with naturally, I think we'll be recording a lot more. But until then, like I was saying earlier, we have to do it ourselves, and it's a hellish process, because first of all, we don't, it's not like we go into a studio and we're writing in the studio and we, the songs are already structured, they're already laid out. It's just a matter of, banging them out in the studio. And then it's a matter, and beyond that, it's just a matter of finding the right sounds and, hitting a snare drum 1,000 times, and sitting in there waiting for it to be right, tuning it. And, it's tough. It's tedious. It's tedious work.
We've been together for about a year and a half now, right? And, I believe so.
Yeah.
About a year and a half, and Lucas is gone on songwriting binges from time to time, and there'll be like, I remember there was a point where we just said we need some new tracks, and he's like, all right, went home and like 4 songs like right away, just like it was really cool, and those things, I'd say we have. Somewhere just shy of 20 songs, probably. There's some that just aren't done yet and that we haven't played out and that sort of thing. And
but you periodically inject the live shows with new material, so you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We'll switch up the sets and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. We're always coming up with little new nuggets to put into each song once in a while.
Yeah.
Our show.
New intros.
At the Viper Room. It's got some new little stuff for people who are really familiar with our show and everything, but.
Let's do another track.
Okay.
What do you recommend?
I would play.
Play Dance. We're about to play that.
Yeah, Play Dance. Play track 4.
Should
we play the intro as well?
Or
I don't know.
We should go with.
I'm so sorry.
Let's not do that. Actually, let's go with Broken Kiss. I think it should be 5.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Casio.
It's 6.
It's 6?
Yeah.
MySpace.com/CASXIO. Is that the place to go for all the latest up-to-date info on you guys? Or you guys have another website or anything like that?
We have. That's the place to go. Go to
MySpace. Yeah, okay. /Casio.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back with more Casio.
Just a friend in you. Ooh, yeah. And I found more than just a friend I knew. And there's a piece of my mind that wants me to do lovely, lovely things to you.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. You guys didn't get into a fight just now, did you?
Almost.
Came to blows.
Not wearing my nails.
What do you think is sort of coming up in the future for Cassio? Like, what direction do you see it going in? Like you were saying, you're looking for a producer to help you guys record some music, and what else would you like to do with the project?
Well, we're thinking... An album would be nice. An album would definitely be great.
Is there a place now where anybody can download any of your music somewhere or anything like that?
You can download 17 from the MySpace right now. We actually are just talking about getting on some local compilations with some good CDs that people know about. I'll wait to say, but there's going to be a lot happening. Since the start of the year, a lot's been coming at us, and we're fielding it all, and we're trying to make sure we do everything right. And we have you can go to the MySpace and you can listen to the recordings, but like Lucas said, most of them are demos, and so we're waiting off on letting people have them. But usually when you come to our show, we'll give you some free music and that sort of thing.
You're saying you want to get out of town, too?
Yeah, like, we want to get out of town. We've got touring. Some shows coming up out of town for the first time. It's exciting. So that's kind of our goal for the year, maybe just, get outside of L.A. and hopefully find that producer that we can start making some legit recordings that we can just be like, that's it. That's the stuff.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Cool. Let's jump into one more live song. What are you going to play for us?
This song is called Danse. One, two, three, four.
I spot you sitting alone at the coffee shop, at the coffee shop. Gonna put another quarter in the jukebox, in the jukebox. Gonna pick a song that we can dance to, we can dance to. Then I'm gonna dance right over to you. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. May I dance with you. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. I wanna dance with you. The slightest move, you're gonna knock me out of my dancing shoes. You might as well knock me out of all the rest. Then we can do the dance that we do best. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. May I dance with you. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. I wanna dance with you. And the dance goes something like this, and the dance goes something like this, and the dance goes on and on. And the dance goes something like this, and the dance goes something like this, and the dance goes on and on. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. May I dance with you. May I have this dance, may I have this dance. I wanna dance with you.
That was awesome. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Cassio. Where are you guys playing next?
Viper Room.
Viper Room, Monday. Check 1-2, Indy 103 night.
Yeah, anyway, they've been putting on a bunch of those Indy nights lately. Huh? It's like a new thing for Viper Room, kind of.
Yeah, Mr. Shovel is getting it down. It's been some good lineups. Dengue Fever played last week.
Cool.
Who else? I don't know. Just a bunch of cool shows been going on there. And you can go for free. You can if you RSVP, you can do it through Shovel's MySpace page, Indy103's MySpace page. You can do it through our MySpace page, or you can email us, call us, text us, let us know you want to come.
There's no excuse for paying on Monday the 25th.
If you want to pay, you could just put it in a hat on the stage.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming and hanging out.
Thanks for having us.
It's really great getting to know your music, and look forward to hearing some recordings when you guys get a chance to put it together and get an album out. We'll have you back on the show to promote
cool.
that, put some shows together.
Thanks.
And then you guys are heading off to Texas to do some South By?
Yeah, a little South By that's not actually South By. We're playing out, you know, in the area.
Yeah,
at the same time.
That's
just
like
getting,
that's
getting
the
up
cool
in the mix.
That's the new cool thing to do now is like play just outside of South By.
Just go
that's
out
where
there
the real
and
party
find
is.
A show.
Right, yeah.
Like it's all in the same area and everything. So it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, the other thing, just completely side note. Sundance seems to be the new music place.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah,
is
like
it?
You know, it's supposed to be for
just becoming
for
this
movies,
big arts fest
because
thing.
There's all these music supervisors up there,
and
bands
started,
are going out to Utah
and
to
it
play.
Started
crazy.
With
that's
iPods, and I'm not even kidding. This it's like I remember like years ago, like reading articles about all the kids, all the hip actor kids trading music on their iPods and stuff like that, and making like be like Elijah Wood had Block Party on his iPod. And it just started to go from there. I think I mean I don't know. I've never been to Sundance. I'm just talking some smack.
Well, I guess you gotta go. You gotta go wherever the opportunities take you. All right, myspace.com/Cassio CASXIO. And let's sign off with one more track. What do you guys recommend?
Okay, so that last track you played was actually called Boiling Point. This track.
We're going to recommend track five.
We'll see what it is. It could be anything. We know it'll be a Casio
song. I'm pretty sure it's called Broken Kiss, but no guarantees. We'll see.
This episode will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com. And, of course, drop by there to see all the upcoming guests. We have shows booked through June. And, again, reminder, tonight at Spaceland, we have isgoodmusic.com presents Kosio, Radars to the Sky, Eject, and the Hectors. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Can I get some time?
Turn it inside out. Put it on these lips.